Okay. This week we're on page 373 of the Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 4, and it says, Satan beguiles men now, as he beguiled Eve in Eden, by exciting a desire to obtain forbidden knowledge. And she's quoting scripture here where Satan's talking, and he says, Ye shall be as gods, he declares, knowing good and evil. But the wisdom which spiritualism imparts is that described by the Apostle James, which descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. And then she goes on to say that the Prince of Darkness has a masterly mind, and he skillfully adapts his temptations to men of every variety of condition and culture. He works with all deceivableness and unrighteousness to gain control of the children of men, but he can accomplish his object. He can accomplish his object only as they voluntarily lead to his temptations. Let me stop there for a moment. The reason, first of all, that we're reading Spirit of Prophecy in the back end of it is because it speaks of what's happening, or what's supposed to happen in the end of days. Most of what she'll be sharing in the beginning of these chapters has already become fulfilled, and then there's a lot of things that she's going to be sharing later on that we're going to be looking at. And even in the early part of this section, she'll be talking about stuff that we're going to be seeing, even though a lot of this stuff has been seen by Christians, or believers, if you will, for 6,000 years. And so it's best for us to prepare, and that's why the Lord moved us last week to start doing this, up until 4 o'clock, so that Brother Andre, and then he goes till 5 for Brother Sean or Eli, whoever's going to do the 5 o'clock. So. But the reason I stopped here is the voluntarily yield to his temptations. And I share this with my children, and, you know, they understand this pretty good. And but still, some of them might not be walking the way they should, so I sometimes remind them, like if they're going to come over and spend a week or two, you know, because most of my kids are in different states, and say they're going to come for a week or two, and I says, okay, but you know, we don't allow you to bring anything into the house that gives Satan permission to be here. You know, like movies, you know, like DVDs, violent video games and stuff, you know, alcohol, obviously, and, you know, normal things that are just plain wrong to be doing as a Christian. And so this is what she's getting at here, because there's a lot of people, you know, Satan, remember, like when the, because we talked about this a few times, the United States of America started off as a Christian nation, and so every time Britain attacked us, they failed. You know, the elite that they're now called today, they attacked, and they kept failing, and they found it was because of the American people were obedient to their God. So they figured out a way to get them to be disobedient so that the attacks would be a little bit more, you know, advantageous towards them. And it worked, because it got to, still, America was still prosperous, because as the prophecy fulfills, it still has to fulfill, even in that sense of the word. It doesn't matter what side of the coin it's on, it's going to happen. But if you look at the aerial photos, well, here, I'll go there because there might be some new people here. Let me go to Ramen of God. If you look at the aerial photos of, and this is only for the people in the stream. If you're on WTPR alone, you can't see these pictures. Or in the chat room alone, you're not going to be able to see them. But some of you already seen them, so where is it here? It's in Warning, Government Gone Bad, and where is it? National Pride. Okay? I update this thing every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. It's just sickening what's going on in this nation, to the point I've got over 2,500 articles already. If you click that, 2,505 right there. That's the bottom of the list right there. But if you keep going down, I start showing some pictures. You wouldn't believe some of these letters, too, that are from presidents and whatnot. But look at these pictures. You can't really see it here unless you outline it. See the pentagram? And then the satellite pictures, there's the pentagram, there it is outlined, and then you got the U.S. Capitol, and that's the stick figure body of Satan. For those that used to mess with the occult, they would know about this, especially if you go in the Book of Magic. And that's right, I found this book. I don't know if I could find it in here. I'll look through it this week, because, you know, years ago, a brother in the faith that I miss greatly who stepped off the path, left our number. His wife is still in the truth, far as I know. But he gave me this book. It's titled Masonic and Occult Symbols Illustrated, and it's 728 illustrations by Kathy Burns. And how big is this book? How many pages? Okay, the back pages don't have any numbers on it, but it's a fat book. Let me see, because I'm going to find that. Oh, man. 543 pages. That's a lot of pages. So if I can remember sometime this week, I'm going to try and find what you see happening right here. Let me zoom in. Okay, now what happened? Well, that's annoying. Let me zoom out. Oh, look at that, 666. You see that? That with that big old government meeting, the leaders. That's something. But, yeah, those are our leaders, it appears. Okay, let me just get this one. Let's see if I can open it up in a new tab. There we go. Now zoom in. Okay, so there's the stick figure body. Okay, and there's the Masonic square that makes up the arms. And then at the top of it is the U.S. Capitol. Now, why is this important? Well, if you knew about the first time Satan, well, not the first time he appeared, but the first time he gave what you would call, I guess, utterance onto a devil worshiper in regards to him being symbolized in, you know, like with a pen, it would be a stick figure body with a bunny head, with the head of a bunny on the top of it. Because Satan knew what he was going to do with the U.S. government. And this is before the U.S. government, by the way, that this went down. And why? Well, where's the head here? See, because you got the stick figure body, but if you go back to the page, why is it still? Oh, everything zooms up when you do that. And you go to, there's the, let me get this one out for you here. Open up in a new tab. There's the Capitol building. Right, there's the Capitol building. There's a cul-de-sac in front of it and two cul-de-sacs behind it. Isn't that obvious? And it's got these two things in the parking lot. I don't know what those are for the eyes. And the dome is the nose. You got the fat cheeks of the bunny. You got the ears of the bunny. You got the eyes and the nose of the bunny. And then the other cheeks right here and all this other stuff. So that's your bunny. Right there, see that the line going there and a line going there? That's this line and then that line, okay? Okay, so that's your stick figure buddy. So let me get back to... Oh, no, let's delete that one. Okay. But that's... Satan has absolute permission to be in the U.S. government. I mean, they dedicated the government to him. So... And so, like, if you have issue in your home and you have someone living there, and let's say they bring porn or any kind of Hollywood movies into the house, you need to get them to remove it or they need to leave if they refuse to remove it. If they bring cigarettes, alcohol, unclean foods, yeah, that needs to go or they need to go. And so, because then they're just going to make life difficult for themselves. You know, the Christian himself didn't bring it in, but, you know, I don't want them to have to go through turmoil being in my house because we have a pretty good-sized hedge of angels, as do all my brothers and sisters. And so we stay obedient. That way there's no voluntary yield to Satan. So going on, it says, those who place themselves in his power by indulging their evil traits of character little realize where their course will end. The tempter accomplishes their ruin and then employs them to ruin others. In other words, no man's an island. Okay, so those who regard themselves as educated and refined, Satan addresses himself by exciting the imagination to lofty flights in forbidden fields, leading them to take so great pride in their superior wisdom that in their hearts they despise the Eternal One. This reminds me of the scientists of today, especially the ones that push evolution or the ones that are doing Kern. And because I did something on one of my blogs in regards to this, in regards to the how Satan was able to get them to, in other words, to busy them, to prevent them from doing scientific research on other things that would benefit mankind, let's say. And so to prevent that, he, because they're very intelligent, they've been blessed in that area, they have their talent, like others have their talents, different talents. And so to make them, you know, puff up with pride, to make them think that they're going so, you know, the wisdom is off the chart and they're going to be so, you know, famous and exonerated and lifted up and puffed up before all of mankind. He got them to do the Kern thing to make them think that, and he could even fake it. Well, he has to fake it because there's no way they're going to split into a fourth dimension. You know, you're not going to mess with God's creation in that way, but they'll make it think that way. So Satan's going to make them think, and they're going to spend all this money doing all this, and so they think they're doing a good thing when in fact they're doing this work for Satan. And when they finally decide to try to see if they can crack into the fourth dimension, and if the timing is right for whatever Satan has planned for them, he'll have one of his demons go out and say, okay, now appear in front of them, make them think they did all that, and it all worked out great. And so now they can get the Nobel Peace Prize and all this other garbage, right? And then make all sorts of money selling this new product or whatever. And so that's all it's about, just to keep him busy, doing his will, to prevent them from being busy to do something that's good. And so they have this superior wisdom, but they despise the Eternal One. And this is why most of these scientists don't believe in God, you know. But to try to conjure a demon, yeah, that's they don't believe in God, but they do believe in Satan. So it's just so silly. But anyway, so to this class, she says, the great deceiver presents spiritualism in its more refined and intellectual aspects, and he thus succeeds in drawing many into his snare. He who could appear clothed with the brightness of the heavenly seraphs before Christ in the wilderness of temptation comes to men in the most attractive manner as an angel of light. And that's right there in your Bibles, you know that. That's why you got to try the spirits to see if they are of God, right? He appeals to the reason by the presentation of elevating things. He delights the fancy with enrapturing scenes, and he enlists the affections by his eloquent portrayals of love and charity. You know, like he did with Jesus in the desert, you know, when he says, if you bow before me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. And so he shows them like a panoramic view, I guess, of all the beauty of all the nations. And you see, that's what gets me, you know. Well, let me finish this thought first before I lose it. But he shows them all the beauty of all the nations. What he doesn't show them is all the poverty, the pain, the starvation, the wars, the decadence and the sin and death and all off the charts. He doesn't show them that stuff. He just shows them the good things, you know. And that's why he shows them all the, you know, the. It's like that song that Barry Manilow supposedly wrote, where it's called I Write the Songs That Make the Young Girls Cry in the 70s. Satan actually wrote that song. It's his coming out party, if you ever saw the words to that song. As a matter of fact, I have it on the website. I can read it to you later if you all want. But the thing is, he's not going to show what's going to happen when you, you know, embrace his idiocy. And so, but the thing with that always got me in regards to this, when the thought almost broke loose, because I thought of Iran and Iraq in my mind as I was reading about it at the age of 12, 10, 11, and 12, because 12 is when the twister came and I was more or less done with my research, because I was able to literally outline how it would come, because I focused on meteorology. I really got into the meteorology around how tornadoes form, and so it was very interesting. Everything just happened exactly the way I was taught in those books. But the thing I really liked about those books and some of the other books that my parents started giving me was the books of countries like India or Iran or Iraq or China. This was simpler times. This is the 1960s. And the beauty of these, especially Iran, with oh man, just the streets. I mean, it's just gorgeous. I mean, I says, why can't we our neighborhood's kind of, you know, we got sidewalks and swales, and the houses aren't the greatest looking, and even their homes, like in Ireland and stuff like this. Oh man, how everything's so pretty, you know, the rolling hills, you know, and the houses, and it's just, you know, I always loved that. And now when I think of Iran, I think of all the hate that they have for us because of the way Rome manipulated their society to where it's always chanting death to America. You know, and they all, it just, and then they had their little pinnacle on September 11th and all that, and to further lock it all down as well as remove freedoms. But that's why, because it all, I could see, it all just starts off there, because even as kids, we always said, oh, Antichrist would come from the Middle East and his colors would be blue and all this. I remember that fall wrong. We always thought that John F. Kennedy would resurrect and he'd be the Antichrist. And yeah, that was Catholic theology. And, but, in a way, it had truth to it, because Mary, you know, with their European flag with the stars all around it, you know, the satanic stars, a lot of them are upside down. There's no way of getting around, you know. And so, but it's blue. The flag is blue. And Rome does use the Middle East, you know, the Muslims to kill the Christians. And so, it was just always, you know, we didn't know. See, at that time I was Catholic. I did not know that the Antichrist was, in fact, the popes of Rome. And so, but anyway, getting back, she goes on to say here that being that mighty being who could take the world's Redeemer to an exceedingly high mountain and bring before him all the kings of the earth and the glory of them will present his temptations to men in a manner to pervert the senses of all who are not shielded by divine power. And the only way to be shielded by divine power is to stay in the Bible daily. These little darts don't work. They bounce off the armor. The armor of the Holy Spirit, you know, the armor in the Scriptures, you know, the helmet of salvation, and it's just amazing how the Lord uses armor to describe what happens when you read your Bible. And we did a couple of sermons on that over the years. But the thing is, there's so many people out there that don't know about that, and little darts like a 7-year trib. Eternal life and hellfire. Eternal life is split second, you die in hell or heaven, either one. Those are all little darts of lies. Those are just lies. But if you in your Bible every day, you go, oh, that's bogus. That's not the Bible. You know. Anyway, she goes on to say that to the self-indulgent, the pleasure-loving, the sensual, the grosser forms of spiritualism are adapted. And multitudes eagerly accept the teachings that leave them at liberty to follow the inclinations of the carnal heart. Satan studies every indication of the frailty of human nature. He marks the sins which each individual is inclined to commit, and then he takes care that opportunities shall not be wanting to gratify the tendency to evil. In other words, they're going to have everything they want in that area. They're not going to be wanting. They're going to have it. And think about that, brothers and sisters. You know, we're walking with Christ. We've been walking so long. Most of us, I would think, have already overcome in most areas, because we are that close now that if you're not overcoming now, you really got to get serious. But we all still remember what we were like before we met Christ. We had crutches, you know, be it drugs, alcohol, porn, whatever. You know, I don't even want to think of those disgusting things, but, you know, or any kind of, or even any kind of desires of the flesh, let's say. Let's say we're going to be slated for the latter rain, and Satan finds out about it, right? Or he could just tell by the way the blessings are, you know, flowing upon us. What she's saying here is we already know this part about not wanting, we're going to have what we need in regards to being tempted to do sin, you know, before you're a Christian. But after you become a Christian, the devil's not, he's not going to likely let you forget what you were before you met Christ. But after a while, yeah, you'll overcome and everything will be great, but he's going to keep that bag of tricks. I have no doubt in my mind that he is going to somehow use that stuff against us in the coming days, especially if you're part of the Gideon band, because you're going to still feel like you're undone. Because when you, the only thing I can think of that's concerning onto the Gideon band at this time in Plague 6 is that we know Jesus is coming, and we know he's coming for us, and we feel undone, just like Isaiah said. And we don't feel worthy. You know, because Satan's constantly going to be pushing all the stuff. Remember what you did back here? Remember? And we confessed all that, yeah. But the flesh is still the flesh. He's going to get to us a little bit in those areas, I'm assuming, because Sister White does go into some, a little bit about how we'll be a little bit concerned about not being ready for him. We don't feel worthy. So anyway, she goes on to say that he tempts them to excess and that which is in itself lawful, causing them through intemperance to weaken physical, mental, and moral power. I mean, case in point, unclean foods. Not only gives you all sorts of weird diseases, but let's just say a person goes and knows that, okay, look, the cow is clean, I can eat the cow. So you go out and get a hamburger. It says, yeah, the cow is clean, you can go out and eat the cow. Okay? But you have to get all the blood out. You can't have any of the blood that's in that meat at all. But then it tastes like garbage, right? And so they ignore that one point. And this is why people are oversexed, overweight, and what was the other one? Always angry, emotional. Why? Well, they've mapped the human brain, and we just found this out about 50 years ago, I guess, the human race found out about it, because after they started mapping the brain, they saw these areas, but now they have it down to a science where you can actually buy a video game where you only use your mind, and you can make a ball go up and down in a tube. Just using your mind. No hands, nothing. Just have the thing on your head and just think. They know the frequency of our minds. I mean, they're actually piping in voices into people's minds. They did it when they couldn't get this one fishing boat away from this American aircraft carrier. They thought the Iranians in the boat were going to ram the aircraft carrier with an IED, improvised explosive device. And so they didn't have a radio on that boat, and so they just piped right into their brains warnings that they were going to be destroyed if they don't turn around. These guys jumped off the boat. They got so scared. And it was in their own language, because I guess one of the guys used the RER. He was bilingual in that respect. And so the thing is... everything that's, anything like she's saying here in regards to being the, weakened mentally and moral, when we eat, because this is why I was talking about the human brain being mapped, the frontal lobe is where we make decisions. Hence the reason that's why the mark of the beast is received in the forehead for most people. But things like sex drive, things like emotions, and things like appetite are in both hemispheres of your brain, the back part of your brain. But if you fever the brain, they have a tendency to move forward. This is just scientific fact. If you fever the brain, and Satan knows this, that's why he's got people out there eating stuff with MSG in it, all sorts of food additives and blood in their hamburgers or pork chops, whatever. It'll fever the brain and push the way the brain works towards the frontal lobe, and so they'll be extra emotional now, because now they're only using the frontal lobe to work that area of their brain. They have no control over themselves no more, because it's not in an area where it was designed to be, where you would have the control. And so it's pushed forward into the frontal lobe, and then that's why the sex drive too, it's pushed forward, and then the appetite, and so everything, all of it's pushed forward into the frontal lobe, overworking it and making it easily confused. And so that's why, another reason why they all get the mark of the beast in the forehead too, because they can't figure it out. And there's only way to figure it out is study the Bible and then obey it, especially when it comes to health reform. Stop eating the garbage, period. And so she goes on, when the people are led to believe that desire is the highest law, because they're only thinking with the front part of their brain, and that liberty is license, and that man is accountable only to himself, who can wonder that corruption and depravity teem on every hand? The reins of self-control are laid upon the neck of lust. The powers of mind and soul are made subject to the animal propensities, and Satan exultingly sweeps into his net thousands who profess to be followers of Christ. But none need be deceived by the lying claims of spiritualism. God has given the world sufficient light to enable them to discover the snare. But they don't read those Bibles. They don't get any light. She says, if there were no other evidence, it should be enough for the Christian that the spirits make no difference between righteousness and sin. between the noblest and purest of the apostles of Christ and the most corrupt of the servants of Satan. Because she was talking about that earlier in regards to how some people are exalted even though they're evil. But she goes on, she says, by representing the basest of men as in heaven, I can't remember who the guy was, and she didn't bring up his name yet because it would have been brought up. Oh, maybe she did in the paragraphs or chapters earlier. But this one guy was literally considered a saint. And obviously the Vatican does this on a regular basis. As a matter of fact, even the Catholics in Mexico got very upset when the Catholic Church made a certain man that was killing all these Mexicans a few centuries ago, they made him a saint. Why? Well, they need that political thing, and that, you know, people are still trying to figure out why they made John Paul II a saint so quickly. Yeah, you wait what happens with his Dies Domini, when he said civil legislation requires that all citizens should keep Sunday holy. In other words, he said something to, Christians should naturally strive that civil legislation respects their duty to keep Sunday holy. That's in his Dies Domini, which is like what do they call those things? It's not a... starts with an E. It's kind of like the one that he just, like Francis just put, the Laudato Si thing he just put out. I can't remember the term that they used. It's a Latin term. It's a statement. It's a global statement. And so they made him a saint really quick so that when they need for him to speak from heaven, they'll do it. Most people believe that, you know, he's in heaven and he can all of a sudden appear and say, yeah, hey, everybody, yeah, you're supposed to keep Sunday holy. So anyway, going on, by representing the basest of men as in heaven and highly exalted there, Satan virtually declares to the world, no matter how wicked you are, no matter whether you believe or disbelieve God and the Bible, live as you please. Heaven is your home. It's like with even Anton LaVey when he wrote the Satanic Bible. His main thing was, do what thou wilt. And that's why you'll see a lot of people, like especially in Hollywood, where they'll use the term. I wonder if they still have, because there were some of them that were dumb enough to put it on their shirts and then wear it. Do what thou... there it is, right there, boom. Anton, let's see, you got the one guy, Aleister Crowley, is the first one that came up with it. This guy here looks like he's trying to imitate the thing that Aleister Crowley did with the head thing. Because there's Aleister Crowley right there, but he's doing the pyramid thing with the head, but there it is. There's Crowley doing the, with the Eye of Horus, that's the Eye of Satan. And this thing here is above every Roman Catholic altar. I've got pictures. Do what thou wilt. And so, in other words, it's just disgusting. Oh, here you go. Okay, this is, who's this guy? Oh, Jay-Z, that it says right there, Jay-Z. Look at it, right on the shirt. Do what thou wilt. In other words, he's a Satanist. There's a couple other ones that did that too. What's this guy got? I can't remember. Kenneth Anger. There's a name, Kenneth Anger. Anyway, do what thou wilt. I don't know if he's a preacher or looks like a filmmaker. And you could buy it, of course, do what thou wilt. John Lennon, I think. Yeah, because I know Lennon was... that song Imagine and all that stuff, No God Above Us, No Hell Below Us thing. Yeah. Anyway, she goes on to say that, moreover, the apostles are, as personated by these lying spirits, are made to contradict what they wrote at the dictation of the Holy Spirit when on earth. So this is what we're going to be looking forward to in the coming days. All right, for those of you that are wondering where some of this stuff is in this last part of Spirit of Prophecy. Demons are going to stand up in front of people and act like they're Paul the Apostle or Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John or whatever. And the people will believe it because they don't study their Bibles and find out that the dead know not anything. The dead are still in the grave. They're waiting to be resurrected. Even Peter, the Apostle, in his first, well, second sermon, if you count what happened on Pentecost as first, but in his second sermon, he was more or less talking about how King David is still in his grave. And he says this after the cross of Christ, when everybody thinks that they all rose from the dead when Jesus did and went to heaven. But no, David is still in the grave. But if Satan can get people to think that when they go to heaven or hell, they're there instantly, well, then, yeah, he can run all sorts of these lies, and this is one of them. And because he's really going for the end run. This is the one thing that people miss. A lot of people, they look at prophecy and they don't see the forest for the trees. Yeah, they'll get the you know, the regular, you know, the prophecies, the 1260, the 1335, the 2300. They'll get even the little horn and, you know, and then the image that Nebuchadnezzar had in his dream about all the governments up to the end of time. They'll get those, yeah, but they don't see the whole ball of wax to where this has to happen for this to happen right before Jesus gets here. Satan isn't going to even go into that bag of tricks. I mean, case in point, look what he did in Esther's day. That was the dry run for what he's going to do with the 1 hour with the beast. He had to test the waters to see if it's going to work. And before he can even do the 1 hour with the beast, he's got to do it with the masks, the vaccine, then the climate change, to where he really gets it down to where he knows now where the problems are. You know, us. And so that when it comes time to do what he's going to do in that sixth plague, he'll have all his ducks in a row, or goats. And so, going on, she says, they deny the divine origin of the Bible, and thus tear away the foundation of the Christian's hope, and put out the light that reveals the way to heaven. In other words, these demons acting like they were Paul the Apostle or whatever, they're going to stand in front of. I mean, look at right now, there's people out there believing that the two witnesses are Moses and Elijah. You ever see that movie, Left Behind? Yeah, they got him. They're showing up, and all of a sudden they're murdered and laying dead in the street for 3 days. And then all of a sudden they stand up, and fire comes out of their mouths. Because they're taking all the symbols and prophecy literally, not prophetically or even symbolically. They take them for what they see with their eyeballs. They don't see with their heart because they haven't read with their heart. And so they're going to see that. But the two witnesses are the Old and the New Testament. And why it comes out of their mouth as fire is because, hey, Holy Spirit's an engulfing fire. Though, just the way he's been opening up the Word lately shows he's burning a lot of dross off of us, isn't he? But they don't see that part. And what about the lying dead in the street for 3 days? Well, a day equals a year in prophecy, right? Yeah. So it was actually 3 years after they removed the Bible from society in Europe. They just ended up in anarchy. It just went nuts to the point that politicians say, okay, this ain't working. We got to bring the Bible back in. And that's when they stood up again. But now the fire's coming out of their mouths because now they can't stop this Bible. It started, the printing press came in, and then, they just went global. To this day, the Bible's the number one book, you know, the number one seller on all bookstores, all of them. I remember when I was a teenager walking into bookstores. Because my mom lived in those too, you know, libraries and bookstores. And so I go into the bookstore, and right there on the marquee as you walk in, or poster, or whatever you want to call it, 10 top-selling books, top number one, the Bible, every time. And then all this other disgusting garbage underneath. And by the time I got into my 30s, I think, or 40s, it started really getting bad. The Bible, number one, and then all these disgusting Stephen King, like, the gross titles is, man, it's like absolute truth on top of the other nine. All fiction, hate, lies, murder, pillage, war, violence. I mean, it's just crazy. And so now when you go into a bookstore and you see the top 10 list, it's actually the top 11. They just removed the Bible because they hate it that much now, because even though it's their bestseller and they're making their money on that Bible, they're not going to promote it. They're going to do the best they can to hide it because they make so much money on the other books. That's why you won't see Ellen White's writings in any Christian bookstore. And praise God, most of the Christian bookstores have closed. Why do I say praise God? Because they're not Christian bookstores. You got guys like Hal Lindsey. They call him a prophet. Even though his book, Late Great Planet Earth, predicted a date for the end of the world in 1995, never happened. But yet now he's a prophet. How about Pat Robinson? I can't believe the guy's still alive. He's predicted, I don't know how many times, false prophecies. He's a short-robed Jesuit, as far as I can see. And his books are on the shelves. So, and he's making a lot of money for the Christian bookstore. And then you get all these other guys, like everybody from, you know, Cyrus Schofield, who's somebody else that people know about. Who cares? It doesn't matter. You put Ellen White's books in those stores, all the other books have to go out. Because she exposes all what they're putting in, even those Bibles, all those bogus Bibles, they got to leave. And so instead of have that issue, we're only going to be selling Ellen White's books. And that's why the ABC bookstores of the Seventh-day Adventist Church had to do what they did. bow to the pressure of the Seventh-day Adventist leaders who edited the books, because having the originals in the ABC bookstore, no, they can't have that. Even in her day, because women's liberation hadn't happened yet, she had no choice but to allow them to do what they did to her books in regards to how they removed the names of the people. She named by name when they were in open sin. They just put a dash or a line to protect them. Why? Well, because they weren't leaving office. They were going to stay as leadership in the church, and there was nothing she could do about it but expose them. But later on, they not only, after she died especially, they just edited her books, and now they can sell them left and right, and people buy them left and right. So she goes on to say that they deny divine origin of the Bible and thus tear away the foundation of the Christian's hope and put the light that reveals the way to heaven, or put out the light. So Satan is making the world believe that the Bible is a mere fiction, or at least a book suited to the infancy of the race, but now to be lightly regarded or cast aside as obsolete. That's why, I started using the term Old Testament again, because everybody, they're going to go, what's the First Testament? And so to prevent all these questions, I started going back to just using Old Testament. They call it Old Testament. I believe the church has brought it in that way so as to make it look like it's obsolete. But what they won't tell the people is when Jesus and all 12 of the apostles, including Paul, only used the Old Testament to preach. That's the only Bible that was there at that time. All they did was make it easier to understand as to what was already written in the Old Testament. And then you look at Ellen White's writings, the originals, and you see what how much easier it is to understand both the Old and the New Testament. She makes it even clearer, because in the last days your daughters shall prophesy. If you don't believe me, when we get to heaven, ask the prophet Joel what he meant. And so going on, and to take the place of the Word of God, he holds out spiritual manifestations. Here is a channel wholly under his control. By this means, he can make the world believe what he will. The book that is to judge him and his followers, he puts into the shade, just where he wants it. The Savior, she obviously spelled it correctly, our Savior. Okay, so Savior of the world, the Savior of the world, he makes to be, to be more a common man, especially so with the Muslims. No, he's just a prophet. Well, actually, they at least give him that. And so going on, it says, and as the Romish guard that watched the tomb of Jesus spread the lying report which the priests and elders put into their mouths to disprove his resurrection. Now think about that. Well, let me finish her thought. So do the believers in spiritual manifestations try to make it appear that there is nothing miraculous in the circumstances of our Savior's life, right? But to disprove his resurrection, they did that. Now, here's the thing. This is why it's so easy to see that the Seventh-day Adventist leaders are going to keep, they already have Sunday churches keeping Sunday holy. They are going to promote it. They are going to declare it's no big deal. They've already said that in writing. And because the Pharisees are no different from the General Conference leaders. No different. How so? The Pharisees saw Jesus Christ. They knew he was Messiah. They knew he was talking about them. They knew he resurrected. They had the overwhelming evidence now. They saw him raise Lazarus, because some of their spies were there and reported back. And so they knew who he was. But because the power of Satan upon them, all the permission that they gave to Satan, had so enraptured their minds to hate Christ that this is what you're seeing in the Seventh-day Adventist leadership, but they're doing it the way the Catholic priests do it. Because all Catholic priests are Satanists. All of them. The Pope, the Patriarchs, or not the Pope, no, the Pope, the prelates, rather. Like the cardinals, the bishops, and the priests. Now, the novice priests that are just coming in, they haven't been told. It's just kind of like with the Masonic degrees. When you get to a certain degree, yeah, you'll spit on a crucifix, because by now you're already ready to hate Christ, because they do this stairway to hell, if you will, but it's an escalator down, I guess. I don't know I know it's downward. But the fact of the matter is the leaders in the Seventh-day Adventist Church know what Ellen White said. That's why they changed the writings. Even the Jesuits have admitted that they read her writings to get a better view on how to better confuse the people, because they truly do worship Satan, and they think they can defeat Christ by using his prophet's words against him. That's how much control, that's how many lies they believe, that's how far gone Satan has them into his charred trophy case. It's crazy. So before I go on to even further on this, let's finish it here, because I'm looking at the clock now and I'm seeing it's Andre's hour coming up. And so she finishes this thought by saying, after thus seeking to put Jesus in the background, they call attention to their own miracles, declaring that these far exceed the works of Christ. Now, that's Catholicism in a nutshell. When I was a kid, that's all you heard. Catholicism is all about sensationalism. Oh, yeah, the statue was bleeding the other day. Dude, check it out. They got pictures and whatever. Yeah, it was just... And then the scapulars, prevented the Pope from dying while he was in surgery. Or if he did die, he'd go to heaven because he had the scapular on it. Or that the stain on the wall of that underpass, or overpass, but they were under it, that looked like Mary. The people out there worshiping it, and so... They think it's actually healing people. It's just like with Lourdes, France. They got this, the water from Lourdes. It's called Lourdes, Lourdes. A demon. It's kind of like similar to the Pool of Bethesda, only this time it's a demon doing it, not a good angel. And so they got people supposedly being healed by the water that comes out of there, and then. And so they run with that sensationalism, too. There's no biblical background to that. And then, of course, the apparitions of a demon calling itself Mary. It's all sensationalism. And so they say Jesus never did any of these things, I guess, whatever. But it's so sad when you think about just open your Bibles. Just open your Bibles. And I guess I'm one of those guys, one of those preachers. Yeah, just open your Bibles. I'm going to keep saying it until... I can't say it anymore, or there's no reason to say, like when the plagues begin, if I'm part of the Gideon band. So anyway, I'm going to pick it up next week. We're going to pick it up here on page 376. So let me go to my notes here. Oh, we did three whole pages. You see, top of the page, and where it says the prophet Isaiah. I'll just highlight this. Okay, I hope and pray that you were blessed. But no, I'm going to be dropping the mic here for Brother Andre, who's going to give you some current events through the Christian eye. That's kind of more or less the same thing I do on my blog. And so, boy, brother, there's a thought. How would you like to do some blog entries? Because I've been getting so busy lately, because I'm leaning towards making more videos of the sermons of the past. In fact, and I praise God for this, Luke's got a new computer coming. He's going to be doing my videos again, the long ones, the sermons, so that I don't just put up a sermon with a graphic like I've been doing lately, because the Lord revealed to me, put the sermons up. Don't be so concentrating on these 4 and 5 minute sermon videos anymore, because they're shadow banning them anyway. So, plus, I don't know what's going on with my rig. The computer I built a couple of years ago, it just keeps on locking up for no reason. So I'm going to have to do it's, this week I'm going to tear it down. I'm thinking it's either an SSD going out on it or one of the gig sticks, because what's happening isn't making any sense. Sometimes it works great for a couple of days and all of a sudden it's gone. And so, but it's, and I don't think it's the CPU, because it's, it's a high-end Ryzen. It's AMD. So, but I'll be checking out those PMs here in a minute. And so with that, I am going to drop the mic, and the next voice that you shall hear here on the live WTPR, but not this pre-recorded that you're hearing right now, if this is days, weeks, or years later, is Brother Andre. So, again, I hope and pray that everyone was blessed. Have a beautiful Sabbath. We'll see you next Sabbath. God bless you all. Love you. Take care.